And right now, oh, ladies and gentlemen, ma'ams and sirs, jazzers and jazzettes, we are proud and honored to have as our guest on Jazz Jambalaya, the one and only George Duke. George, welcome.
Good to be here. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Hey, let's get started. I want to tell us a little bit about the early period for you, the 60s period, and all the people you work with and how that kind of shaped you for what you would be doing later on.
Well, probably during the 60s, the biggest thing for me was actually working at a place in San Francisco called the Half Note Club, where a young Al Jarreau came in on a Sunday afternoon, and we developed a musical relationship, you know, and that kind of launched my whole music career in the San Francisco area. You know, I was an undergraduate at the San Francisco Conservatory at the time, but playing at this club in the evening, you know, and honing my skills. So that period was very important. As a matter of fact, I even put out Al and I just released an album based on that music from 1965, mm-hmm. you know, about a year and a half ago. Wow. And Al and I are still touring together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in a trio format, sort of the same thing we did at that little club.
Wow. Now, was that around the same time at that club you met John Lapani and did some work with him as well?
A little after that. I found out, it was around 1968, 60, something like that. I found out that Jean-Luc was coming into from France to the Los Angeles area to make a record. And I had heard his records on K-Jazz up in San Francisco. And I said, man, I got to get to play with this guy.
No.
So, and not only me, but I had the band, because I had a band that had been working together for a long time.
Right.
And so he agreed to allow me to play on the record. And we started... That developed a friendship as well and a musical relationship.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So from that period, from working with Al Jarreau and later on John Lapani, how did you get into, well, how did you come to meet Frank Zappa and start working with him?
Well, it's well, I had come to Los Angeles to do some work with Jean-Luc. And we did a record called King Kong that Frank Zappa produced, called the Frank Zappa, or Jean-Luc Ponty Plays the Music of Frank Zappa. So Jean-Luc said, the only way I do this record with this crazy rock musician is if I bring my piano player. And I happened to be there, and that's how I met Frank. Frank, for some reason, took you know, on to me, and he kind of liked me. I don't know why, because I had nothing to do with the kind of stuff they were doing.
Right.
But he liked it, and he liked dichotomy, things that don't go together. And he asked me to join the band. And that the rest is history.
Oh, wow. And we earlier we played a song off of one of Frank's albums that you participated on called Eat That Question. That was from the Grand Wazoo album. As you worked more with Frank and recorded more albums with him, did you get into more of the writing and producing aspect, or was it always all Frank?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, the way Frank worked, he took whatever you did, especially if you did things live that he liked, and he had you do it on the record or on stage the next night. Things changed all the time. You know, officially, no, I wasn't a producer. I wasn't a writer. I wrote one song with Frank called Uncle Remus. That was one thing that I did do with Frank from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the stuff, yeah, on a certain level, I produced a lot of the synth parts, because once I understood what Frank wanted, then I just went for it. He allowed me to go for it. So a lot of those keyboard parts and things I came up with off the cuff.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we talked about it. But basically, he was the producer of the record. It was his dream. It was his cake, and he baked it the way he wanted to.
Right.
But he allowed us to put whatever filling we wanted to in it.
Right.
Ah!
What'd you
say? I got some words here.
Mixing that vanilla and chocolate icing together. So, hey, George Duke, ladies and gentlemen, our guest here on Jazz Jambalaya. George, while you were, it was interesting, because when I look at albums, I look at dates sometimes. And while you were working with George Duke, Frank Zappa, excuse
yeah.
me, you recorded an album with Nat and Cannonball Adderley called Zoe Zodiac. And tell us about that particular, how did that come about?
Well, I was in the band, you know, for when I joined Frank Zappa in late 69, early 70. But in 71, I got a call from Nat Adderley and to join the Cannonball Adderley Quintet. And that, I had to go. You know, I told Frank I got to do this with Cannon.
Right.
And I worked with Cannon for a couple of years and rejoined Frank Zappa in 1973. But I continued to record with Cannon up till he died.
Right.
And so that was one of the projects, the Soul Zodiac project, both of them, along with a DJ from this L.A. area, Rick Holmes, put this idea together to do the Soul Zodiac. And it worked. It was an interesting record that sold well. And I don't think we ever did it live, but Rick Holmes is still around, you know, and it was an interesting thing. And we got a chance to write, you know, but working with Cannon was amazing. Because he used to come to the Afno Club.
Oh, okay.
In San Francisco when I played there with Al. Because it was a neighborhood club.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I first met Cannon and that.
Mm, okay. And so from that now, those albums, did they shape what you would be doing in the future? In other words, we're coming up on the mid-70s and you're starting to do a lot of things just on your own. Did that period help shape you more than the 60s period, or did it all just come together, both the 60s and 70s, to do what you were doing later on?
Yeah, it's all pretty important. It all is in the gumbo. It all made up who I am. Of course, the 70s, when I worked with Frank and worked with Cannonball, that was a tremendous time. The early periods, the 60s, was really I was a novice and just learning the craft. You know, I kind of perfected it when I joined Frank and when I joined Cannon. They perfected what I feel about music and how it shaped everything after that. You know, Frank kept telling me that I should open my mind up to other forms of music. Cannonball told me the same thing in his own way. And Cannon, of course, knew every jazz musician I ever loved, and they'd come to see us play. If it weren't Joe Williams, it was Sarah Vaughan, or it was Carmen McRae, or it was, you know, Bill Cosby would stop by and put his 2 cents in, Freddie Hubbard, whoever. You know, and it was just all these great musicians and singers that I learned from. Miles, all those guys.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. George Duke, ladies and gentlemen, here on Jazz Jambalaya. Now, the aura will prevail. I wanted to talk about that album because when I first got into jazz and was going around different people, they would literally brag on the aura will prevail. Every keyboardist I know had that album. Every keyboardist I knew at that time had that album. Well, was that a definitive album to you in saying, okay, I'm going to go this direction or that direction or what? How was that album to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a pivotal album for me. We had Alfonso Johnson, who I, you know, had worked with Billy Cobham, and we got to work with Billy Cobham together with that band. But he was with Weather Report, and we became friends. He's a Philly bass player. And he added so much to that record. He and Adugu, who I'd become friends with, and I had an idea about making synthesizers talk in a jazz context, not just to play weird music, but I wanted to play the blues with it or make some jazz with it. And I actually tried to make the synth sound like Yusef Lateef.
Oh, wow.
You know, when he played flute, I kind of had that kind of thing in my mind, you know, and I wanted to, I just had a vision of music, and that record really represented what I felt. There was some R&B in there as well. That really, you know, especially the ballads, mm-hmm. kind of shaped what I came to be later on.
Oh, wow. And that, of course, that led to later on you working with Billy Cobham a lot, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason that Slim and we wound up in the band. We did one record together. The band was only together for a year, but that record was a pivotal album. I never really cared for the record that much, but for some reason, that record sold very, very well and apparently shaped a lot of musicians' lives. You know, musical lives, it changed the way they viewed music. The whole idea is fusion kind of became, people at that time began playing a whole lot of notes, and there wasn't a lot of, I felt a lot of heart in it, you know. I mean, not the original guys, you know, original guys came from the jazz world, and there was a lot of substance there. But some of the later guys, it just seemed like they were just playing digga-digga-digga-digga-digga-digga, and I was like, that ain't it. Let me see if I can play, put some R&B, some blues, some church up in this fusion, right, and maybe we can garner a different audience and take it somewhere else. And that's what that album represented.
Wow. George Duke, ladies and gentlemen, here on Jazz Jambalaya on the Fishbowl Radio Network. George, that segues into what people probably feel. Well, a lot of people had come to know you during your CBS period.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly tell us about your signing with CBS and then the albums that you made from that point on and the impact that they had on you.
It's very strong. First of all, Bruce Lundvall, who was, you know, the head of Blue Note, was at Columbia at that time, and he couldn't sign another artist, so he took me to Epic. He says, you got to sign this guy. He took me to Ronald Luxembourg. They signed me, and I started doing a series of records. The first time I really had a really decent budget, and the first record I did was called From Me to You,
right,
which I just went kind of hog crazy and used a whole bunch of musicians. But I went out with a band. With Liana Dugu Chancellor, Byron Mill, and a whole bunch of people that we were on tour with, and we really became a family. And by the time I did this record called Reach For It, which actually came out of a bass solo out of D.C., you know, and the groove kind of happened, and the people went nuts, and I went in the studio and cut it, and it became a big hit record, and all of a sudden I had a huge audience.
Right.
You know, and it sort of set the stage for my next portion of my career. That and Dookie Stick and all those kind of records that follow the Rainbow album, you know, I had a band that was on the road constantly with a lot of singers, and I looked at the singers as really orchestration, and I did a lot of Latin music and a lot of, for what people call some Earth, Wind & Fire type material. I wanted to see if it were possible to combine jazz with R&B and make it work in a musical context, make it music.
Right. Oh, wow. Now, Reach For It and Dookie
yeah.
Stick, of course, a lot of people know those two, and a lot of people felt that there was a heavy Parliament Funkadelic / Bootsy influence to those tunes. What did those guys have any influence on you in any way when you came up with those tunes?
Absolutely. And Dugu, first time I heard Parliament Funkadelic, and Dugu brought me this record, and he says, you got to hear this. And he brought it to my house, and I played it. I said, oh, man, this sounds like the other side of Frank Zappa. And they kind of look like the other side of Frank Zappa, too. And so I said, some kind of way we got to incorporate this kind of vibe into what we do, because it was funny to me, and it was lighthearted. And so, I it just sort of happened naturally. We didn't force it. It's just something happened when we were touring. We kind of got into one of those kind of grooves. And Reach For It was really the first time we hit it, you know, hit the nail on the head, you know. And eventually, you know, George and I became friends. You know, matter of fact, we just played on a cruise together not too long ago,
right,
which was a lot of fun. Because he's wearing suits now.
So, oh, you're not wearing, you're not, oh, that's amazing. Hey, George Duke, ladies and gentlemen, on Jazz Jambalaya. We're going to get into Dookie Stick right now. This is from his album, Don't Let Go, going back to 1978 on Jazz Jambalaya.
Now that the bridge is on this side of the border.
Give me some of that.
Won't y'all come on over here with us?